Hello, welcome to Workplace Wake Up. I'm Jen Shaw. Every week, I spend about 15 minutes covering key legal developments, introducing you to interesting guests, and providing some entertainment to start your workday. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe how fast this year is going by already. We're almost through with the first quarter. I have no idea how this happened. Okay, anyway, welcome. We're going to talk about investigations gone wild today. Now, this is one of my favorite topics. I talk to people about this all the time. As many of you know, our law firm does investigations for employers, but we're not an investigations only firm. So we do advice and counsel, we do training, we do investigations, and then we handle administrative agency issues. For example, with the California Civil Rights Department or the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement or the Department of Labor. So investigations, though, is by far the juiciest part of our practice. And this is in no way to reflect any sort of lack of seriousness about this topic. Okay, we take our roles as investigators incredibly seriously. And when we get new investigators in our firm, many times they're very experienced lawyers because we only have lawyer investigators. But they haven't done a lot of investigations, or they've done investigations for other folks, and we just have our own way that we like to do them. We're very by the book. We're very impartial. We work very hard to try to do the best job we possibly can and reach the result that is appropriate based on the facts that we have seen. So we're not at all swayed by what the client wants or by what the complainant wants. We just get in there and get it done. But because we do hundreds of investigations a year, we see so many opportunity areas for employers. And one of the things that I want to talk about here today is when these investigations go wrong. And there's so many ways that this can happen, right? So the first thing I want to talk about is employers who use external investigators, okay? Now, a lot of times you can do these investigations internally from the HR department or employee relations or labor relations or legal, right? You don't need to go outside. So the complaint comes in, for example, to a government agency. Let's say there's an equal employment opportunity office. The complaint goes there, and that office 99% of the time can investigate that complaint internally. Sometimes, because of the nature of the complaint, or the people involved, or the workload of the internal investigators, they need to go externally. And we see a lot of issues here where the employer isn't choosing an investigator that can get the job done quickly. So we have a lot of folks who call us all the time for investigations, and sometimes we need to say no. And I never want to say no. I'm not good at that. But we have to, because if we take the investigation, we can't finish it quickly enough. And if I'm the employer, if I take off my Jennifer Shaw lawyer hat, running a law firm hat, and I put on employer hat, I don't want to wait 6 months for an investigation to get done. So one of the most important things for you to ask about when you're retaining an external investigator is how quickly can you get this done? And you should say to the investigator, and please tell me the truth, okay? Now, here's what you need to know. Sometimes these investigations take a heck of a lot longer than they should, but it's not the investigator's fault, all right? Sometimes there are witnesses who must be interviewed who are on a leave of absence, or there are documents that need to be reviewed that it takes a long time to get approval to get. So sometimes the investigator will tell you this should take 30 days and it ends up taking 3 months because there were delays due to witness unavailability and document issues, etc. But sometimes, and this has happened to us internally, and it always just mortifies me, you take on an investigation that you think you can finish quickly, and then somebody in the firm quits, or somebody goes on a leave of absence that was unexpected, or another investigation that you were in the middle of needs you to testify, and you've got to spend 2 weeks with the lawyers on both sides doing depositions and figuring out what's going on. So that's never what you want to have happen as the investigator. we always try to get them done as quickly as we possibly can. Sometimes we can do an investigation in a day. Yesterday, one of our lawyers, Melissa, we were doing an investigation where a woman claimed sexual harassment. She wrote a very detailed email, and then she said, I have text messages to back this up. So Melissa talks to her and says, okay, well, can you send me the text messages? As she's on the phone with the complainant, with the woman, the text messages come in. They're absolutely unbelievable, disgusting, sexual content, threats for her going forward, retaliation, all kinds of things. Melissa comes in and says, I think the investigation is done. Right? What could this person possibly say? We know they're from his phone. We can see we've got the work phone. We know these text messages were sent from the work phone. There's just not a lot that needs to be done there. She went ahead and talked to the respondent. It was a 5-minute conversation. He said, yes, I did send those messages, but I was joking. Okay, we're done, right? This investigation is over. So the first thing you've got to remember is you want to pick the right external investigator. And if you're doing it internally, you've got to get it done as quickly as you can. And it doesn't mean you're going to follow the same process every time, right? Sometimes you interview the complainant first. Sometimes you interview the respondent first. Another thing that comes up is we try to talk people out of a complaint. We had a situation recently where a very high-level person met with this rank-and-file non-supervisory employee and said, listen, I got your complaint. You know, we're happy to investigate it, but you need to understand if we do, you're going to have to meet with this lawyer. It's going to get really complicated. I don't even know what's going to happen. I mean, depending on what the lawyer finds, you could be fired. Okay, so what is the point of this whole conversation? The employer doesn't want to investigate it, and they're trying to talk the complainant out of it. Now, I know you're sitting there listening to this right now saying, Jen, seriously, no one's going to be that dumb. Oh, yes, they are, because they're not thinking about the big picture. They're thinking about, oh my gosh, she just made a complaint against one of our board members. We're a publicly traded company. This could affect our stock price. This isn't going to work for me. We got to find a way to bury this. We got to find a way to deal with this. That happens. So this is why internally you've got to have, whether it's the HR department, the Equal Employment Opportunity Office, the personnel office, labor relations, employee relations, whatever it is, they need to be separate. They need to have some autonomy, some independence. Otherwise, these investigations are not going to go the way they need to go. If the CEO or the chairman or the executive director is in on every complaint that is made, there's too much power that could be wielded there. And that's not going to be a fair, impartial process. Now, the other way these investigations can go a little crazy is when the investigator loses their way. So I had a talk with one of our investigators this morning. She's amazing. And we were talking about how there's a complaint that was made about gossip in the workplace. Okay. So somebody was disciplined and there was gossip. And the employer, understandably, would like to find out who started this gossip and what happened. But this is a pretty sophisticated work environment. And everybody is sort of either saying, I don't recall, right? Or they're saying, well, you know, I just don't feel comfortable speaking up about who told me this. And it's very unclear when we're going to be able to end this investigation. They have a couple thousand employees. We obviously can't interview every one of those people to find out if they knew about this issue and if they talked to anyone about the complaint, et cetera. We're not going to be able to do that. That's not real. So investigators, whether internal or external, have to be able to know when to draw the line. When am I done enough? Remember, it's very rare that you're going to have the smoking gun, the videotape that shows what happened. You're going to have to piece it together. You're an umpire. You're calling it like you see it based on what is more likely than not. The preponderance of the evidence. You're never going to know for sure. I shouldn't say never. Sometimes you will. We saw those text messages yesterday that I told you about a moment ago. It was real clear what was going on there, especially when the person admitted it, because how could he not in the face of all of these text messages, right? So you have to know when to stop, because otherwise what happens is the investigation continues and continues and continues, and more people are brought into the fold. The more people you have involved, the more risk of retaliation you have. It is very, very tricky. So when you're doing these investigations, always ask yourself as you're going through each step, am I there? Do I have enough? Do I have 50% plus a feather? Is that scale tipping just enough where I can say, okay, it's more likely than not? I'm not saying it's beyond a reasonable doubt. I wasn't there. I'm not 100% sure. I just did an investigation and the respondent was very upset at my findings because I said it was more likely than not that he had behaved inappropriately during a meeting. And this person told me the truth. I think from his perspective, he didn't behave inappropriately. But the information I had showed that it was more likely than not that he was unprofessional during the interaction. He was very upset. And he said, rightfully so, but you weren't even there. I know. I didn't have the benefit of being there. But I'm the neutral third party and I have to make a call. We never say, well, gosh, I don't know what happened. He said, she said, they said, I don't know. Listen, if that's your finding, why even have you do an investigation? What's the point? You just took the time and the resources to do this investigation, and your conclusion is, I don't know. It's a he said, she said. I don't know what happened. Well, thanks for nothing, because that doesn't give me anything as the employer. You have to make a call. You are the umpire. When you're watching a baseball game, they don't say, oh, I don't know, ball, strike, let's just do it over, right? They got to call it. And sometimes we're sitting there watching saying, are you kidding me? Are you blind? That was clearly in the box. What are you talking about? Strike all the way. But it is what it is. And yes, there are now some opportunities to challenge and you can watch video and all of that. But the umpire has to make a call. As the investigator, you have to make the call. That's how it works. All right. The final thing I want to talk about with these investigations is that you've got to do a good enough job that 5 years later, you can figure out what happened. I just got called about an investigation I did 5 years ago. The lawyer in that case told me, listen, I don't want you to write a report. Just take notes on these interviews and tell me what you think is going on. Okay. They're the client. They get to dictate that. I took the notes. I saved the notes. I didn't write a report. Now there's a lawsuit. Got a call from the lawyer for the employer saying, hey, where's your report? I didn't do a report. What? What is wrong with you? Are you a terrible investigator? I said, no. I'm sorry. The client didn't want a report. That's not my job to dictate to the client what they want. If they tell me they don't want a report, they don't want a report. But the problem is now when I'm deposed, I'm going to have to tell the other side, right? The employee's lawyer, look, I was asked to not do a report. What I'm telling you is based on my notes. I don't have anything else. It makes it look like they didn't do a thorough investigation. They did. I did. I mean, I know exactly what happened based on the notes, but it's not as persuasive because there's not a report. So think when you're doing these investigations, what could possibly come out of this? Could I have to testify at an administrative hearing or a court proceeding? Might I have my deposition taken, right? Because when you think about that, you're going to be much more careful about how you dot your I's, how you cross your T's. You still have to follow the client's directives, just like I did. They don't want a report. They don't want a report. They want you to do X. Fine, do X. They call it. Okay. But that's not something that is necessarily going to stay confidential, right? If you're asked the question as the investigator, you're going to always answer the question truthfully. So there are so many pitfalls in these investigations. It is so important to be educated. Some of you have been through our 3-day intensive workshop on these investigations. Eric Glassman is the facilitator. He's absolutely incredible. He's an amazing trainer and an amazing investigator. And the 3-day session is coming up and you need to do it. By the way, we change all the hypos. We do a case study. We literally spend a full day teaching you how to write a report. All of that is new every year. So we have folks who come every year to hone their skills and make sure they're ready to roll. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Go to our website, sign up for the 3-day intensive workshop with Eric. You will be so glad you did. So many issues come up. It's just critical that you've got the information and the best practices, the most up-to-date best practices for how to do these investigations. The bottom line, you guys, is we do investigations as a means to an end. The end is to figure out how to solve a problem we have in the workplace. Okay. So the investigation is just the tool to tell us what's going on. We need to take the time to say, okay, investigation's over. What's the next step? But obviously the quality of the investigation is going to have a significant impact on how well we are able to solve that problem. Take the time to do this stuff correctly. Make sure your people are trained. I know it's an investment. I know it takes time, but it is well worth it. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. So glad you took a few minutes with us. Go out there, have a great day, be kind to someone, and I'll see you next time. Workplace Wake Up, including our guests and hosts, do not provide legal advice in this podcast. Do not act upon any of the information discussed in this podcast without first consulting a licensed attorney in your jurisdiction. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to spread the word, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and/or rate and review it. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and email us at info@shawlawgroup.com.